ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hello, welcome to the Sister Sister podcast. This is a podcast all about friendships, family, finances, and everything in between. I'm Candice Brathwaite, and each week I'm welcoming a guest to delve into lessons we've learnt the hard way, so hopefully you don't have to. Let's do this. Today's guest is none other than Chanel Ambrose. A content creator and entrepreneur, Chanel's YouTube channel has almost 500,000 subscribers and 44 million views. She covers a wealth of topics including but not limited to beauty, lifestyle, home renovations and more. She is also without doubt one of the most prominent plus size fashion bloggers coming out of the UK. Oh, did I also mention that she's a mother of two? Yeah, she really is all of that. And listen, let me be honest, this episode is just gonna sound like Candice is fangirling, because at the beginning of my social media career, Chanel was someone that I really, really looked up to, and it kind of gives me chills to just have a conversation with her and for this moment to come full circle and for me to genuinely call her a friend. Well, in this case, a sister. So let's dive into this conversation. Guys, I cannot tell you how gassed I am for this episode. I have stalked, quite literally stalked Chanel for a decade, and I've watched her whole journey. I feel like I know more about Chanel's life than Chanel, you know, than like 3-4 years ago. We did a popping IG live. When I say we shut down Instagram, I feel like it was for like 3 hours because IG live kept kicking us out and we were like, we're actually not done. Let's just reload and go again. And then what people might not know from that moment is we hadn't even met in real life yet. We then met in real life, I think, a couple of years ago at a book launch just before this pandemic Lovato set in. And she is quite literally, I am a massive, massive fan. So to be able to have what I feel is like an evergreen, everlasting conversation on this podcast with Chanel, I'm having a fangirl moment. So you will hear it in my voice. Don't judge me. You can just rate and review and leave us 5 stars. But anyway, Chanel, how are you?
I'm well, babe. How are you doing? Yeah, I'm good. I'm surviving. yeah.
Do you know what? We're already laughing, and I know why we're laughing, because Chanel already used the word surviving. Because what we're really saying, and you guys will hear it more in this episode, that being a dark-skinned black woman on the internet is not a game. And there's always a hurdle or something stressful. And so I really want to delve into that with Chanel first. But let's just kick off with my first question now, Chanel. You speak proudly about essentially going from being a single mum on benefits to now sitting at the head of tables in boardrooms. As someone like myself with a similar background and upbringing, I know how hard it is to be something that essentially you cannot see. So I just want to know what keeps you going, because it cannot be easy. So what makes you think, do you know what, with all these hurdles I can do this?
Well, I think there's several things, you know. It's my family first and foremost. I've got 2 boys, and you know, I grew up in London, and London is home, absolutely, like London is London. But you know, when I just look at what I want for their future, I just keep on working harder, knowing that, you know, I wanted to, obviously my whole objective was to guess move out of London and just start a nice life there and just start afresh and build and continue building. So that's one of my main motivators. And then just being a Black woman, a part of this space, and being a part of the movement of entrepreneurial, strong Black women who are absolutely killing it right now. I feel that this is a bit of our moment to shine, as we are just so creative and talented. And I guess this is my part of the conversation. And, you know, this is my seat at the table, just doing my thing on my side of the internet. But as you know, it's not easy, you know, so we just keep on moving.
Guys, you won't be able to see the video, but I can see Chanel. The way she just flicked the hair was actually a whole paragraph. Like, it's stressful, but we move.
I was just trying to get the hair out of my face, to be honest.
It's just the way she flicked the hair is how we flick away the hurdles. Like, we still get it done, honestly.
Trust me.
So watching you like strive for these things, and I wouldn't even say you, Chanel, aim to be at the table. Like, I've watched you quite literally create your own table, so I want to give you props for that, because I think also we'll get more into this like further down the line. But sometimes, especially in the infrastructure that is the white British media, we can be tricked into thinking there's not enough even space for all of us to sit at this wonky table. So to watch you just press on and build your own, I have to give you your props for that, honestly.
Thanks, sis. It's not easy, but we keep going, honestly.
Literally. Now, I mentioned in my book, Sister, Sister, that... look at me getting spicy already. I'm often met with questions about why my platform isn't as big as XYZ's, or why I don't have more followers. It shocks people often when I tell them it's because I'm a dark-skinned Black woman, not married to a spicy white man, and I don't have children who can be fetishized. Chanel's face already. So I want to know, do you think yourself or women that look like us would be more popular if we did have elements that could, and the only way to describe it, if we had elements in our lives that could dilute our Blackness, do you think that would make us more popular content creators?
1,000% yes, of course. That is just, and it's not even any shade to anyone who has, you know, got that, or that is the case for them. Sometimes that's what your life is set out for you. But then beauty standards has its own rules, unfortunately. And we potentially may not fall under the desirable beauty standard, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Especially when it comes, we're kind of like more or less family content creators as well. Although like, I don't really do too much with my family, but they're there. You can see they're a part of my package, so to speak. If there was, you know, a bit of less Blackness, I would say, but just being completely open and frank about that, because I'm trying to be, you know, politically correct and all that rubbish. What is that? I kind of have to keep it real here. If there was less Blackness in my package, I guess it may have really been a huge benefit, definitely. But then I do appreciate the people who support based on the Black love and Black, you know, seeing the Black family as we perhaps don't see it pushed enough, you know, because I guess there is the stereotype that most Black families are not wholesome and, you know, got the packages in the mom and dad. Even when you're watching TV adverts, if they're going to put a Black family there, you know, one has to be Black, one has to be white, or two mixed race. It's very odd to see a full Black, you know, family. So
and I appreciate, and this is the thing, because especially in Sister Sister, like, I remember doing the audio recording and the producer being like, oh my gosh, this book is really controversial, and me cackling and being like, this is not controversial, this is my life. But I know even us having this kind of discussion and me like putting a question to you like that? I know how that can be perceived as like, oh, did they really say that? But I think if we're really going to have this discussion and this idea that Black Lives Matter, and we are opening up like columns for this conversation, then mm-hmm. I think we should all really listen to the women who often sit at the bottom of this power pyramid. Like, I think far too often, Black people who do meet the Western beauty standards, or who are able to develop their careers in a different way because they are able to be sold or positioned as ethnically ambiguous, to only listen to their stories is futile. Because to those of us who cannot hide our Blackness and have to wear it every day, operating in these spaces are very, very different. So I could not, guys, for you lot listening, I couldn't bring Chanel onto this podcast to really just chat breeze in you lot's ears, because it's not, living in these bodies and taking up this space isn't often a breezy experience. And I think any opportunity we have as Black women to tell you what it's really like, I just want to take that. So I just wanted to add that in there. Speaking of which, because I know we perhaps have both dealt with this, the reality is that online trolling is on another level for Black women who dare to live a life online. Have you encountered trolling? And if so, how have you dealt with it?
Oh, wow. I would say, I have, of course, I think all content creators at this point perhaps would have dealt with some level of trolling. Mm. I think for me, I play it safe. I play it safe, so I don't attract as much trolls as I've seen others who are a little bit more daring with their content. And one thing is, obviously, like when you go like viral, your video like or your content really gets out there. You bring in unwanted or unseen eyes that you're not expecting. So their level of trolling might be on a different level. But for me personally, I feel that my growth I'm now a steady position overall, just because, again, I play it safe, just because I haven't got time to deal with the headache of trolling. And the truth is, when I am confronted by all of these issues, who's going to look out for me? Who's going to look out for the black woman when she has those issues? And this is why, for me, I just want to do my thing and keep it moving, and mind my business and keep it moving. Because when the trolls do come and they do affect me and attack me, who's going to look out for me? Like, you know, so it's just unfortunate that we just can't be ourselves to an extent that we want to, because, you know, I mean, so honestly, I don't even want this to be a violent sad moment, but it's actually quite a mistake when, you know, we do have to limit our creativity to an extent based on just the anxiety of attacks for just being ourselves. So
that is oh my gosh, I wish we could insert like some church symbols. What a line. Limiting your creativity just based on the anxiety of attacks.
Yeah,
it's not a realization yet, it hasn't come to pass yet, but trust me, as a Black woman, you may see other content creators doing something, but you already know how, if you do similar, how you're going to be positioned, how you're going to be targeted, how you're going to be demonized. And you do have to sit there and weigh up whether creating this piece of content is worth the inevitable fallout or the inevitable, woo, girl, please.
Yeah.
That makes my chest hurt. Like,
yeah, exactly. And I've seen, you know, some Black women just pull it all out there just because it's a passion for them to do so. Well, you do see the backlash that they do get for putting it all out there, you know? And when I mean all out there, I'm not even talking about, like, you know, clothing or anything. It might be the type of conversations they have, or the type of banter they bring, you know? Even sometimes the way we banter, if no one else understands it, you'll get trolled for that. And that's unfortunate, because there's certain jokes that we like to crack that, you know, in our circle, it's something that we appreciate. I guess for us, should aim to be a little bit more comfortable and confident in just being and, you know, opening up as we should, honestly, because, you know, the internet is free and we should have the opportunity to get out there and say what we need to and do what we need to do, as long as it's not killing anybody. But, you know, people like us as well, who obviously are business women on online, and, you know, not wanting to fumble the bag, you know, you have to kind of bridge that gap between not saying or doing something that's going to affect that. It's our bread and butter. And therefore, I stay in my lane and, you know, I commit to my brand. I, you know, commit to my audience as well. I'm telling you, I know I could go the extra mile and do other stuff. But as we're talking about right now, there's that limitation just because, oh, what if it goes viral and everyone just drags me or it goes on a show, blah, 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 or something like that. Do you know what I mean? And it's just, it's terrifying. It's so terrifying. Because as I said previously, who's going to look after you when you do get that issue? Who's gonna come to your defense? There ain't no one gonna come and fend for you. No, you're on your own.
If people know what we're talking about, ending up on anything where the word begins with shade, yeah, has always been my worst. That has been my worst nightmare as a black girl on the internet. Listen, yeah,
I'm sure we have the capabilities. Can these tell? Let me tell you something. We definitely have the capabilities of doing things to go viral, but we just know if it touches that. Honestly, I have analysed the industry for a while. I know what it takes to go viral, but I hold back. I hold back because I'm not trying to get out there like that to be dragged. It's not a nice feeling. No one's going to look after me when that happens.
This is the thing. I ended up on Shade Borough, I think, 6 months ago for a situation that, in my opinion, wasn't even about going viral. It's a very serious situation. It's something that really hurt my feelings. But I couldn't even deal with the anxiety of being in those spaces.
I was in the comments for you.
Girl, thank you.
I was like, listen, you bastards. I will tell you something today. I said, if Candice ain't saying something, me, I will. Listen.
And do you know what I love about you and women like you? You understood in that moment that I can't say
you
anything.
Can't.
Because like Chanel just said, that's me fumbling the bag. I can't say anything.
Yeah.
Like, I in that moment, especially the visuals of that setting, again, I keep reiterating being a dark-skinned black woman, I can't defend myself publicly. Mm-hmm. My only safety net is being silent. Mm-hmm. So seeing women that look like me in that moment, heading to them comment sections and being like, no, that was so beautiful. Yeah. But like Chanel said, bruh, I didn't want to end up in any shade room, shade borough, nothing, because we know how that ends.
Yeah.
Like,
Exactly. I think if our sisters can support us if it does happen as such, that's that's the most we can ask for at that time, you know, just, you know, and
Yeah, so with that said, if you see one of your sisters up on the shade room, just support the ting, because we're telling you she can't say anything in that moment. And what we do need to do is stand 10 tones down for each other when stuff hits the fan. Right, let me move on, because we could be on this all day. Now, girl, you know I'm about my coin. I know you're about your coin. Last year, following the rush of the Black Lives Matter movement, one thing became very public conversation, and that was the blatant pay discrepancy between ourselves and our white counterparts. And I've put in my question here, and I do just want to say, I don't even want to use the word counterpart, because that's often quite disrespectful to the level of content Black people are producing, because I honestly do see white content creators just hold a deodorant can up to their face. Facts. That's all a lot of people do. And then I see my Black creators hiring a drone and flying out when we could fly out to create this content. So counterparts is a bit of a disrespect, but you know what I mean. What do you think needs to happen for us to be paid not only fairly, but in alignment with the work that we are producing?
Whew, wow. There is a few things that could be done. It really starts with the boardroom discussions, first and foremost, and the people who are holding the bag, so to speak. It's not even necessarily what we are meant to do, because we're doing our part. What else do you want me to do? You want me to now go and kill myself? I can't now. I have to just do what I could produce. But this is really what happens behind the scenes. And the discussions that the directors and, you know, the campaign managers are having in order to include the Black voice or the Black look or the Black image into, you know, their brand partnerships and their marketing campaigns. So as you know, I have an agency. Now, we started off as a talent agency almost 5 years ago, but we are kind of pivoting to a creative agency, because with that, we can really have more conversations with the actual brand partners and speak about their direction in terms of how they are, you know, working on campaigns. So it's not limited to me just developing a talent. That's fine, because one thing is, a lot of Black talent know what they're doing. So it's not even a major development that is required. Like, a lot of people know what they love, their passions, and how to articulate it to their audience. But what do the campaign management, what do they do? What can they do? And this is where that conversation is literally offline, actually, before it gets out there. And what I am, myself and the team are doing is working with brands and educating them on the, you know, the fundamental importance of having the Black voice in their campaigns and the Black image in their campaigns, and, you know, ensuring that Black creators also receive exactly what they are deserving.
That's really powerful, because what Chanel is highlighting there is how, and this goes back way before we had content creators. This is very much the idea of Black people should only be playing games on the field, or we should only be the rapper.
Right.
It's like the real money conversation is happening before that rapper's album comes out. The real money conversation is happening before that football player is even drafted or called to play. And if we really want to make sure we're not only being paid fairly, but what we are truly worth, then we have to strong arm our ways into those boardroom situations. We have to, like Chanel has done, create creative agencies and not just manage talent. Because let's be honest, if we're talking about talent, Black people, they come a dime a dozen. Guys, you will not hear this in this moment, but we're recording this on the day when, in my opinion, Raheem Sterling should be on the front cover of every British newspaper. Is he? No, he's not. Let's not act like they're not going to wherever they're going, because I'm not going to pretend I know football. And Raheem Sterling is not deserving of a massage because he's carrying this team on his back. It's not that we don't have the talent. We are talented in every regard, in every area, but it's about being managed properly and having people that can walk into those boardrooms and be like, show me your real bag. Because let me tell you something, £200 per post is not it. It's not it. So miss me with that. Do you know what I mean? And I've been in situations when, I think I've said this on this podcast before, where I'm on set with five other white women and I come away and I realize I've only been paid £500 and they've been paid £2,500. That's not even an exaggeration. Like, how do we get to a point where pay discrepancy isn't even a discussion anymore? And I think Chanel has really chosen the right avenue to do that. Like, okay, I will create a space where I get to be at the table that is having those money discussions. Because at the end of the day, this is something that I don't think people understand unless you're in this industry. If you are the influencer, you are the last in the food chain. You are the last in, the influencer is the last person to see the brief. The influencer is the last person who is told about money. So we really need to be creating those agencies that liaise with the Coca-Cola or the Nike, because only then will we know what's really going on.
Exactly. I hear that.
Sorry, girl. I sound like I'm
We are taking it to church today. It's absolutely correct. But you also did say, what can we do? And although I did highlight, for the most part, we're very talented, we can figure that out, then there is a job for the influencer to do, and that is to kind of, I guess, not be too open to just taking anything, not selling themselves too cheaply, and knowing their worth. Quite honestly, when I tell you, one brand contacted us to do a huge like edit collection with one of our girls, and the budget was absolutely a budget is a budget, I get that, but what are you asking for? This person wanted the whole world on their shoulders, and when I said to them that honestly, in comparison to the premium brands we work with, who are a bit more, I guess, generous with their budget, this really doesn't work with our talent. They then decided to now compare them to all these other influencers that are at 7 million and they charge that price. So why don't we? Why? Because this is a black girl who's doing her thing in this industry and working and trying to is beyond that. It's a personal thing now, you know, trying to pay her bills perhaps and trying to just do something to just level up in life. And therefore, you know, these negotiations need to be worth our while. It needs to be worth the work that we're putting in. And you know, they kind of shaded me in saying that, well, other well-known agencies would not, you know, type of thing. And it was like, okay, well, go to the well-known agencies. As for us, we are not going to waste our time on a shabby small deal. It doesn't make any sense for any of us. You know, we'll rather wait for the opportunities that are worthwhile.
And that is, do you know what? Woo. Yeah, and do you know what? That, again, Chanel is dropping gems because that is going to be very uncomfortable for some black influencers. I understand that. You know why? Because sometimes it feels like the deals are coming in so far and few between that it's like, you know, you're worth more, but it's like, oh, let me just do this to prove that I'm good at the job. Or to just cover me for like, you know, I need you, I know you need to buy X, Y, or Z. And I will say you might do that in your very early days, but the quicker you dig your heels in, the better, because people will get the message. And it only takes one brand to come along and pay you what you think you're worth for you to be like, oh, I can really do this now. Yes. Like really get confident in yourself.
Yeah.
You know? Yes,
indeed. I agree.
Get confident in yourself. And that's hard, especially when, and I don't know why they do it, especially when they compare any black content creator to any white person that's been on Love Island or whatever. I don't know why you do that. You already know that the hat is hung far higher than we can reach. You already know that even if we shared that same platform as them, we wouldn't get that reach just based on the society that we live in and all the racial rules that are put in place. What is so interesting, though, you know of me well enough to have found my management or to have found me. So clearly my reach, or you knowing my name, is not the problem. That's not the problem. Just say that you can't pay the bill and bounce.
You know what?
Like, don't annoy me today.
I said that to him. I said, my client is not the issue. You ain't got the budget. Period. You ain't got the money. You haven't got enough money. You can't afford. Period. That's it. Finish. Let's just have that real conversation. If you don't have the money, it's not that hard. Just say it. God.
I told you that we would cackle today. I can't, honestly. All right. Oh, you have shared some very deep, traumatic, personal stories online. Of late, I've personally been working on sharing joy and abundance, which often isn't seen from dark-skinned black women. And I've noticed that you two are now more leaning into what future Chanel wants and her joy. And, you know, we're leaving the mentality of being stuck in that high rise behind, and we're watching you reach for higher heights, right? But I really want to know, have you found people to be as supportive of you now that you have shifted your life and you're reaching for something else? Or were they more supportive when you were quote unquote struggling?
Wow, the candies. Wow.
I know, girl. I'm sorry.
First of all, I like what you first said about me basically being the person I've always wanted to be. Because one thing I do love is when I'm either flicking through TikTok or like Instagram and I'm seeing a black girl in like luxury. That's just like, you know, such an exciting thing to see, you know, celebrating luxury. Like you have many, like Melissa's Wardrobe, for example, or, you know, I don't know, Fasayo, all these girls that show their lavish, beautiful lives. It's just so like, oh, I'm excited to have that one day. You know, I think I'm at the stage now where I can actually say, I think people supported me more in my struggle, it feels like. People supported me more in my struggle. Mm. But then again, I think it was more needed at the time. Do you know what I mean? I needed that support because I was trying to see myself out of that situation. So bring your support, fam. It's not something I'm going to turn down, you know. As I am, I guess, heading to more of a comfortable place in my life, on a personal front, I think I started to, would I say lose friends? But like, I didn't see those people as much as I used to. But this feels like I am being confronted with a different set of people altogether, you know, who are more kind of understanding my vision, and I can work with them to get into the next level, you know. So it's kind of just, I don't know, it's been a bit different on different levels, I guess.
No, do you know what? I feel it. I feel it because our trajectories have been very similar. Born in London, know that struggle, just want to do right for our family, then move out. And I've said this on a different episode, but Bode came across this woman one time, a black woman who left a comment somewhere and was like, yeah, I liked Candice Brathwaite so much better when she was poor.
That is so unfortunate.
Do you know, and it's just that it's a very like crab in a bucket mentality, or this idea that if one of us are winning, we all can't win, or this true discomfort that comes up when we see a black woman living a life that, let's be honest, we've all been told we're not worthy of, we're all been told we're not entitled to. I understand how uncomfortable that can be, right? So to see less support as I go further away, because I don't want to say that this version of Candice is better than that one, but as I go further away from that old version of Candice, I have to agree with you. But it's interesting to clock that whilst the support is less, the amount of support is better in quality.
Oh, hallelujah. It's we really went to church today. Quality. That is what exactly sweets. Honestly, that is it. The quality is better. That's the bigger difference. Honestly, the quality is a lot different. There's less people, but it's more, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to explain it. It's more refined, maybe, you know?
It's refined.
Yeah.
And you know these people that, you know, when Chanel drops a new homeware line or she comes out with a book, you know you can depend on this group, even though they're lesser, to support you through thick and thin. And so I really can't sit here and boo-hoo about the support I have lost, because I'll be really frank with people. If you can only support a black woman when she's in the JSA line, then you're really not supporting her. You're supporting trauma porn. That's what you're doing. You're supporting trauma porn. You're not supporting...
Yes.
Like, if you can offer that same support when she can afford that lace front and she can acquire that Chanel 2.55, or she can get her family out of the hood, that is a quality of support that will always be welcome. Yeah. But if you, and again, like I said, it's only when it comes down to black women that we want to say that this support is variable, right? Or that it's like, I would support XYZ if they were doing that, but not Chanel. And you know why I can't support Chanel? Because I've been told that Chanel shouldn't be allowed that life. So I now can't support her on this transition. Mm-hmm. Then you can hold that.
And this is why,
it's just not welcome
for me,
around
I
here.
Feel like I've actually plateaued as an influencer, as a content creator. Because I've had a fair share of that comment as well. Like, this is a new Chanel. I've made videos recently where I said, I'm changing. Things have changed. And, you know, it's either you're with me or you're not. And it's as simple as that. But I am definitely going somewhere. the old version of me is not a girl that is damaged or is, you know, is inadequate. An extremely important person in my life was that old version, trust me. But we move and we grow and we change and we make positive changes to better ourselves. And, you know, I feel that as a community as a whole, as Black women as a whole, if we do just move up towards where we want to get to, people are just going to have to get used to it, because I'm seeing a lot of changes with so many different people that I've known, you know, from when they was, I guess, trying to figure it out. You know, there's always a stage where you're trying to figure it out, yeah, or whatever. And, you know, their goal is just to get to a better place for themselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. We should never pull someone down for wanting what is going to help them and make them happy, you know?
Speaking of that, speaking of like pulling people down, and this is, I would say, we're getting close to the end, but I just wanted to keep it real for a minute, because I'm being honest when I'm saying that the oppression that comes with working in the media, be that traditional or otherwise, has sometimes tricked me into believing that we can only ever celebrate one Black British woman at any given time. Have you ever found yourself to be worried about the opportunities available to you because of this?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, definitely. Because there's always, this is tokenism then, isn't it? It's that whole conversation about tokenism and just only allowing one person to have that space just to kind of tick the diversity box at the time. And that is just so out of order, honestly. I just feel like it just makes the rest of the Black community or Black women feel like we can't ever get an opportunity to just level up. And this is why, for me, I feel that we as Black women should do our own things and have our own books and have our own agencies and have our own music community and have our own, I don't know, fashion line or whatever the case may be, and create our own spaces, essentially. Just because, you know, I can't be bothered to wait for me to have that moment if I will ever even get it. What is the point? You know, it's just, it's a waste of my time.
Yes.
Honestly, it's a waste of my time waiting for me to be a part of that token conversation. We can't. So I'm creating my own.
Do you know why Chanel's hitting... Chanel's hitting bars. Do you know why? I saw a post recently by the comedian Gina Ashaway, who now lives in America. And she, in that post, she was talking about how if she stayed in the UK, people were fully telling her, you will never be regarded here until Lenny Henry dies. Because it's quite literally, bro, go and check the post. Go, and they were like, for you to pop here, Lenny Henry has to die first. Because come on, you know that Black Britain works on a one in, one out rotation. Like, then they're not going to allow two Black comedians to flourish at any given time. Are you crazy? And so that's why she's gone and she's blown in America. And so once again, Chanel's dropping bars. Like, we are being backed into a corner that, as painful as it is, I think it's long overdue. We need our own publishing imprints. We need our own clothing lines. We need our own beauty ranges. Because I just can't, this idea, this mentality of, oh no, it's a Candice Brathwaite summer. It's a Chanel Ambrose summer. It's a, you know, one person at a time summer. Come on. Come on. When we see 10 people of any other race at any given time, all being given space to flourish, it's like, and that, of course, whether people, there are some people who aren't as brave as myself and Chanel who won't admit it, but that, of course, breeds feelings of insecurity or jealousy or fear, because it's like, you do know that if there's one girl that is hot in this moment, you do know she's collected the Black girl bags for the next 5 months. It is what it is. Like, we are all very aware of it at this point. And I think we end up doing a disservice to our sisters, and by sisters I mean S-I-S-T-A comma S, when we're like feeling jealous or pent up, because that's how they want it. That's how this system wants it, you know?
Yeah, I agree fully. Oh, wow.
So, yeah, guys, anyway, let's talk happier things. What advice would you have for Black British women who want to develop a career using social media?
Ooh, well, there's so much angles I can go to in terms of advice. I don't want to give the, you know, the obvious, like start an Instagram and build a following. I think it's more than that. If we're talking about in 2021, I do feel that we have created a standard now. I'll be completely honest with you. Not to say that it's competitive and there's no room for anyone else. There's room for absolutely everybody to start now. But we are talking about quality and investment at this stage of social media. And that is just quality in your content and the consistency and investing the time to strategize. And it doesn't take a team. It starts with yourself. All of us started by ourselves. And yes, now we have management and, you know, assistance and support like that. But it does start on your own and just figuring out what you can do as a person who likes a specific topic and just wants to have a conversation about that. And one thing I would say is I think all creators should not always think of themselves as just influencers. I'm all about business. I feel that what is really going to take, I feel like one of the big things that is going to really, really tackle racism, quite frankly, is if the black coin lifts. If we can make our own money, that is going to, money is everything. That's the language that we all understand. And it's about having a business mentality. I mean, I'm not saying like be all corporate, because this isn't a corporate industry, as in for creatives. It's not. It's really creative. But you do need to understand the business strategy of it all, or try to at least research on that in the field that you want to go into. It's about that. It's strategy and just knowing, okay, this is what I'm going to do to grow. And honestly, I'm amazed by the generation that are killing it now, like the TikTokers and stuff. Like, I love a lot of the dancers. I love the TikTok dancers. They are amazing. Like Nife and Regina and all of them, they're creating their own movement and doing Black Girl Magic. And it's so amazing. And now they're like doing a few lovely campaigns and stuff. So, you know, and I think Nife, like for her, for example, I'm mentioning her, she literally started her TikTok, I think maybe a year ago, and she's now like almost at 2 million or something. So, you know, this is the age where I think young Black women can really be as creative as they want to be, but with a good strategy and a plan as to how they want to achieve it, you know.
I agree with Chanel so much. Like, babes, don't come into this game if you just want to be sponsored by Pretty Little Thing. I'm not going to lie to you, because what Pretty Little Thing are doing are using you in their business strategy. So please, Chanel, please, I'm not saying don't take the coin, but I am saying, like, how can we make this coin restorative? How can we make it stretch? How can we use it to grow a platform where in 10 years you don't have to, in 10 years you're not even considered an influencer, because you've gone and you've taken that money and that social capital and you've built something that can feed great great grandchildren you will never meet. This is a really, really important conversation, and it's one that I know Chanel and I will come back and have, because it's very, very powerful. But babe, before I let you go, because I know you're super busy, could you just tell me who some of your favorite Black content creators are?
Oh my goodness, that is
I know, sorry.
So Raven Navira, she's a travel content creator, travel and lifestyle. Adeola Boyega, skincare.
Yes, girl.
She's gonna be huge. Then parenting and stuff like Flavia Benko and Joyce Adewale. Luxury and fashion, Melissa's Wardrobe, Fisaya Longue. Mate, there's so much, you know. You, Candice, I love your content, obviously.
Babe.
And if I've missed anyone out, I'm so sorry. I've just literally had a brain freeze for a second because that's what happens quite often.
I've been watching on YouTube recently. I don't know if you know, especially house renovations is anyone's thing, but a young lady called Lydia Dinger.
Oh my God, Lydia! Exactly! Lydia Dinger! Oh my God, that's my honey. Lydia. Yeah.
Like,
we got a house at the same time as well. So she's been really inspiring for me watching how she's doing her thing with her home. She really renovated it and it just looks absolutely amazing. I love her travel vlogs as well.
Yeah, it's amazing to see Black women taking up space in content creation that, like, okay, yes, we know that we're popular beauty influencers. We know we're popular fashion influencers. But to see Black women making waves in interior, in travel, in food, it's absolutely remarkable. Anyway, Chanel, this has been... Good luck editing this, guys. I'm talking to the editing crew behind the scenes. Because this has been incredible. Thank you so much for speaking with me, girl. And I know we'll be talking again, so I'm not even gonna drag it out. Thank you. This has been amazing. Bye.
Bye.
I think you guys can tell we enjoyed ourselves way too much with that one, and that episode could have gone on forever. So thank you for listening to that, and thank you so much, Chanel. Don't forget to follow Chanel on Instagram and on YouTube, and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss next week's episode. You can follow me on Instagram where I am at Candice Brathwaite, and if you've enjoyed this, please don't forget to rate and review, as every little helps. And my new book, Sister Sister, is available to buy now in hardback, ebook, and audio. Talk to you next week.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.